Okay. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful special this morning. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and also chapter 3. Just mark it with your thumb or finger, and we'll be reading a couple verses from chapter 3. I want to thank Rand for filling in last Sunday and the funeral yesterday and other duties that fall upon those who, when the pastor is absent. So I appreciate our good leadership that we have here at Versailles Baptist Church. Everyone willing to fill a gap or do whatever is needed. So I appreciate that, and thank you. What is it about a spiritual inheritance? The blessing, or when we leave a spiritual inheritance, what does that mean to us as an individual, as a Christian, as a Christian family? We're going to learn a little about that here in 2 Timothy this morning, as Paul is sharing his thoughts to Timothy and about Timothy. And we can learn a lot as parents, as grandparents, and church leaders and Christians, how that we are to leave a spiritual inheritance to those who follow us. So follow along with me, beginning with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Let you know that Paul was a praying man, wasn't he? He prayed night and day. Longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. Now, turn with me to chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, or holy scriptures in some translations, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to help us all understand where Paul is coming from this morning in this passage of Scripture. You see, Paul called Timothy son. Now, it wasn't his biological son, but his brother or his son in Christ. Because, you see, Paul was a mentor to Timothy. He saw in Timothy something that a lot of times we miss. And Paul, Apostle Paul, he saw in Timothy something that God had begun in him when he was small. Because if you recognize what the Scriptures is saying here, he said, from when you were young, your mother and your grandmother, Lois and Eunice, they taught you the sacred Scriptures, or the holy Scriptures. Now, and it says it was even to give you wisdom, even unto salvation. Now, Timothy did not get saved because of a great evangelist preacher coming through through a revival or crusade. It was because he was nurtured by family members. He was taught at an early age. You see, we don't get saved just by knowing scriptures or learning them, but it's who the scriptures is and the Savior who we trust in that offers salvation to us. And that's an example of the demonstration of what took place in Timothy. And inheritance, oftentimes when we hear that, we think of material possessions or material things. But I want you to think on another note. The most important inheritance that we can receive is something that is spiritual. Now, when we think of inheritance, we think of a spiritual inheritance. It can't be seen, or it can't be counted or measured. Now, I want you to remember, you cannot give to someone else what you do not have yourself. And Paul is speaking in terms of what he knows that he has and what Eunice and Lois had, and they passed on down to Timothy. You see, in when he was growing up as a young lad, he said, "Don't let those around you intimidate you. Take and make fresh what has been taught you, what has been given to you since you was a small person." And we as adults have children. You may have biological children. You may have children that you raised. But the most important inheritance that you can leave them is something that you have learned and you have passed on down to them. And it comes from the Word of God. It comes from the spiritual things of life. You see, you can't pass down something that you do not have yourself. And I'm so glad that we have started learning scriptures or getting you to learn scripture week by week. And see, this is one way that you can add to your spiritual knowledge and your wisdom of the Word of God. And it blessed my heart this morning when I said, "Do you remember the scripture verse 3 weeks ago?" And Lily that down there, she quoted it. You see how precious that is? How children take serious the Word of God. And you see, as we as adults, as we pass down the spiritual legacy of our lives, of the church, the Word of God, it would be something that they would never forget. So I'm not only speaking to parents this morning, I'm speaking to all of us who need to understand that it is important that we pass something down that is important to those who follow us, and that is a spiritual inheritance. Now, the Apostle Timothy is a wonderful example of someone who was blessed with such a treasure. Timothy was blessed to have a grandmother and mother who took him and nurtured him in scriptures. See, when he was young, his mother and grandmother shared their faith and knowledge of scripture with him. Because of it, he had a firm foundation to stand on when he was called into ministry. You see, when we have that firm foundation, we have something to stand on. You know, I remember when I surrendered to the ministry, and some of the adults in the church where I was going to church says, "I understand you're going to that cemetery there in Louisville." I said, "Cemetery?" I said, "No, that's seminary." "Oh, well, he's just be careful. Don't get, you know, confused and drift away from what you've learned." I said, "Man," I said, "if I do that, my grandfather would come back and he would dust my pants." Because I was grounded in the faith. I was like Timothy, you know, from the time I was old enough to understand to read and listen with understanding. You know, my grandparents and my mom and all of those surrounded me and taught me scriptures, and I learned at an early age, and it prepared me for ministry, just like it did Timothy. You see, they saw in him what God was going to fulfill through their legacy of spiritual inheritance, because they knew the word, they shared the word, they passed it on down. And as I went through 4 years of Bible college and 4 years of seminary and so forth, I was stretched. But because of the firm foundation that I had, I was solid in my faith and still solid today. Even stronger, because when we lie upon the Word of God and those who taught it to us, you know, with their heart, soul, and mind, it's something that we can carry on and pass on down to those that follow us. So I want us to look at some components of spiritual heritage. And there are many here in the Bible, treasures that we can leave to your grandchildren or pass on to others that will have a lasting impact upon their lives. And first of all, we need to pass on a desire to follow Jesus. You see, although you can't pass on salvation, your desire for the Lord is contagious. It is very contagious. And as you look at different people and certain people in your family or around you that love the Lord, they just don't say it, but you can see it in their actions. That's contagious. Something that you love with your heart, something that you love doing, and something that it's exciting to you, it's contagious, isn't it? And especially when somebody knows that you love the Lord. Because it didn't take me long to be around somebody to know if they love the Lord. You know how I know? Because they want to talk about it. They want to share it with you. They will say, you know, guess what God did in my life today? Guess what he showed me in the scripture? And that tells me, hey, he's been reading the Bible. You've been reading the scripture. And sometimes when they just start quoting scripture, say, oh, he not only just read scripture, but he's memorized scripture. You see, it's a love for the Lord that surpasses everything else that you can have in this world today. And when you have a love for the Lord, you see, it is very contagious. And see, that's what the Lord wants us to pass down to our children and our grandchildren and everybody that we meet in this life. And Jay, yes, it makes you go around smiling and people wonder what you're up to. So, you know, it is contagious when you read and study and you let people know you love the Lord. See, there's interest in Christ comes from watching and seeing him in the center of your life. There's a reverence. That's another way that we can pass down our heritage, by reverence for God's Word. See, there's no other book in the world can match the Bible. And parents have a responsibility to share this with their children. With your children. Let them see you read the Word of God so that they know how important it is to you. Be sure to give them the Bible and read it regularly. As your children grow, challenge them to research and search God's Word for answers. One of the remarks I've heard from my children is that they will remember me because I always have my head in a book. And when I was going through Bible college and seminary, I did have my head in a book. And our textbook was the Word of God. So I learned scriptures by reading and applying it in my life and in ministry and the things that we do for the Lord. So you see, the more we do it, the more natural it comes. Just like as you memorize these scriptures that we give you from week to week, it will become natural to you. as natural as getting up in the morning, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, putting on your clothes, and walking out the door, going wherever you go. It'll come that natural to you. And then when you have the Word of God implanted in your mind and in your heart, then it's just going to flow. You see, those things that you practice and do regularly, daily, you make it your purpose. You make it your priority. And you see, God is going to bless you tremendously. And when I say bless, and I'm not saying materially and so forth, if He does, God bless you for that. But He's going to bless you on top of all the things you can imagine if you will just take to heart the Scriptures and what He wants you to learn about Him. You see, the more we read the Word of God, the more we learn about who God is, His character, His holiness, His righteousness, who He is. Because one of these days, you're going to be spending eternity with Him. Amen? You're going to be spending eternity. So why not find out a little about God now so that when you get to heaven, you'll have a lot to talk about. You'll have a lot to praise God about. You'll have a lot of blessings to share with God. You know, thank you. Thank you, God, for being a part of my life and share with me. But when we neglect doing this, then we miss out on all the blessings that God potentially has in store for every one of us. So pass down your spiritual inheritance to the ones you know and love and cherish, your family. You see, give your children a spiritual inheritance. Because, you know, it's an effective testimony. You know, the famous English deist, Anthony Collins of 17th century, he met a plain countryman who was out walking. And the man, he was just walking along, and Collins said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to church." "Well, why are you going to church?" He said, "I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to read and study the Word of God." And he said, "Why do you want to do that?" "Because," he says, "I love God, and He loves me." He said, "Is your God big, or is He little?" And the countryman, he said, "He is both." And he said, "Well, how could He be both?" He said, "Because He's bigger than the heavens of heavens, which cannot contain Him, but He's small enough that He can dwell in your heart." And you know, this made such an impact on Anthony Collins that he stated that all the articles and all the learned doctors and people who had written about him, this statement impacted his life more than anything else. You see, just a simple statement that God is so big, He's bigger than the heavens of heavens, the heavens of heavens cannot contain Him, but He's small enough to dwell in your heart. You see the impact that can make on people that maybe doesn't know God, or they may be a deist, and they're trying to figure out what this world is about and what their life and what their purpose and God's will for them here on earth is. You see, a simple statement of knowing the will of God for your own life can impact in so many different ways. So another way is understand of how to listen to the Lord. See, the most important thing in life is to learn how to listen to God. Because men are so good about listening to their wives, right? Or vice versa. I see a lot of heads shaking. We do need to listen, don't we? We need to do more than just hear. We need to listen. So how can we impact other people's lives? Well, the understanding of how to listen to the Lord. The most important thing in life is to learn how to listen to God. See, He can't be perceived by our physical senses. So children must be taught to listen with their spirits, with their hearts. Instruct them to ask the Lord for the direction and wait for answers. And sometimes we're a little bit impatient. We ask or we pray, and we want answers now. But sometimes God's not going to give us anything until we are ready to receive it. And then when we receive it, then we can pass it on because we know that it works for us. If it works for us, it'll work for other people. And by faith, you see, we can progress on in our spirituality and we can pass our spiritual inheritance on to other people because they know it worked for us. So when we think the Lord has spoken, help them discern if what they heard is consistent with the Word of God. So we measure what we know and what we hear and what we do by the Word of God. If the Word of God says, you know, one thing and the world says something else, take the Word of God because it's true. It's an absolute truth that we can base our life upon. So understanding the Scripture and understanding how to listen to God is very important. Depend upon the Word of God as your control center. And a beautiful illustration of our dependence on a solid established base while we are moving at, in a distance is like the Apollo 11. Years ago when the Apollo 11 sent up three to orbit the moon and land, guess where they were getting their instructions, where they were getting their command? Well, in Dallas, Texas, they were giving them instructions, exactly the maneuvers and the coordinates and everything to how to orbit and when to sit down and when the conditions were favorable and just right. And when they sat down, two men stepped out onto the moon and they walked the surface. They were getting their instructions. Now, they could disregard it and just say, well, we're going to do it our way. Would that have worked? It wouldn't have. And I was reading an article about Neil Armstrong and what he had accomplished and so forth. And the article was saying that these spacemen or astronauts could not stay there on the moon. Why? Why could they not stay? Because they had an important task. Because they was given, being given instruction. They had to come back because, you know, it was more than just about them. It was about the space program. And what about Christianity? We can't stay where we are. We need to get our guidance and instructions because the Word of God is our control center. You see, so we pass on the instructions we receive so that others might benefit from them in their lives. So as we get instructions, as we learn about the Word of God, then we pass it on to others for their benefit, for their safety, for their protection, for their knowledge of the Word of God. So it's a pattern of obedience. You know, since children are even adults, follow our examples more earlier than our words, the best way to teach obedience is by modeling it. This means that we must let them know when our actions are done out of submission to God and not our own. So it also requires we admit our mistakes and explain why it was wrong for us to not to follow the Lord. So see, we don't really have an excuse if we step outside of the will of God. Because children understand and others understand when we are not within the will of God ourselves. So it's important that we, as Christians, as parents, follow God's guidance for our lives. You see, we provide spiritual inheritance to our children three ways. Most importantly, we do it so by the pattern of our own lives. Secondly, we pass on the principles that govern our lives to them. What governs our life? Is it the Word of God? Is it our relationship with Christ that governs what we do, what we say, our actions? It should be. If it's not, then we can't pass that along for their benefit. And then thirdly, we provide a spiritual legacy through the power of our words as we interact daily with our children. George Barna, in his book, Revelation of Parenting, Revolutionary Parenting, gives us information about the family today, and especially many Christian families. And in his book, he says, what does God measure? What does he measure about our lives? In George Barna's book, he says, it's our hearts. He measures our hearts. He created us to love. He created us to serve. He created us to obey. So he studies the indicators of our devotion to him. So as parents, then our job is to raise spiritual champions. Well, but that doesn't mean that we are supposed to ignore the significance of developing our children, our intellectual, our emotionally, our physical dimension, but it suggests that we have to see a bigger picture of God's priorities and raise our children in light of His standards and not ours of society. You know, you read newspapers and articles and magazines and self-help books and talk shows give us an impression if we are just honest about a problem, get a lot of advice, do what we really feel, then that's going to solve our problem. But modern opinion, not thinking, is what they're saying, says that an individual, not God, is in control of his or her own future. And that is a wrong thinking. So this is a heart of false teaching. And you see, Paul was warning Timothy, you know, guard what God has entrusted into you. You see, we as parents, we have to guard our own spiritual, our spiritual inheritance. And we pass that on. We have to guard our children that cannot, at small ages, make decisions for themselves. So we guard that because of false teachings in this world today. So this is a heart of false teaching when that happens. So we must not allow our society to distort or crowd out God's truth. So we need to spend time every day reflecting on the foundations of our Christian faith, founded in God's Word, great truths to build up our lives. You see, Paul knew what was important. He wanted to pass down something that he had learned himself and what Timothy had learned through his own parenting, his grandmother and mother, because it was so important that he realized that Timothy had an important responsibility leading, teaching, and preaching and sharing God's Word. So today, as we think about our responsibilities as parents, as church leaders, as educators, or people just out in the workforces, what is our responsibility? How does God look upon our lives? You know, what's important? How does God measure us? Well, He measures our hearts. We are to serve, obey, and instruct those who He has placed us over, given us responsibility to. And as church leaders, you know, it's important for us today to understand that God has a specific plan in place. And we as a church and we as individuals, we are to carry that out. We ought to carry that without any question in our mind. What is God's will? What is His purpose for my own life? We should be asking our own self, individually, ourselves, what is God's purpose for my life? What is His will? As a parent, we can answer that. As an educator, we should be able to answer that because we're given the best instructions that we can ever receive from God's Word to nurture, to teach, to discipline, to love, to obey. You know, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 pretty well sums it up. If we could just live out the fruit of the Spirit, then our life would be much more a blessing to those who are around us and hear us and see us and know who we are inside. You know, what we say sometime and what we do is not always from the heart, is it? Sometimes it's a big front. We want to put on a big massage. But, you know, God works from the heart. He sees us who we are. And you see, he doesn't look on the outside of appearance. He don't care what we look like because he created us. And it has to be good, right? And I mean, when you look in the mirror every morning, you should say, "Thank you, God, for making me just the way I am." Amen? Thank you, Lord, for making me who I am. But you know, I want to be different inside. I want to be changed inside. I don't want people to look on the outside. I want them to see me from the inside. And when our children, and we as parents and grandparents, and as you are our relatives to someone who is close to you, can look at you and say, "That person loves the Lord. I know you love the Lord, and I want to walk in your footsteps. I want to follow you." So many people said, "Mike, you got some big shoes to fill for your grandfather." I said, "I'm not going to try to fill his. I can't do that. But I can walk in my own shoes, and I can do what God has called me to do." But I had a great example, mentor to follow. And if we can say that, you know, we're on the right track with what God has called us to do. So remember that, you know, leave a spiritual inheritance to your children, your grandchildren, and to those who you know around you that see you each day, that they would want to follow and mimic themselves. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that your Word of God gives us a clear and plain map, gives us a clear picture of what you want us to be and who you want us to follow, and that is Jesus Christ, a perfect example of obedience and surrender of self to you. And Jesus said, "I don't do anything except what the Father tells me to do." And when we can learn that and experience it and practice that, Lord, we can make an impact and make a difference into this world in which we live, in our families, the closest people around us. And Lord, this morning, I pray that your message, your word, will impact each one of us to want to change for the good and for the better, because there is better things to come yet for those who follow you and walk in your footsteps and your principles and your precepts. Lord, help us with our decisions this morning. Lord, make them clear to each one of us what you expect and what you want from our lives, so that we're not ashamed to walk this aisle and say, "Lord, I want to follow you. I want to walk in your footsteps. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a loving parent. I want to be someone that can help others find you." And Lord, we pray this morning that through this worship experience, that we'll have a greater knowledge and understanding of what your will and purpose is for each one of us. We just want to praise and we thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 428. 400.